All right, good morning, everyone. It's good to see everyone out again this morning, especially on this holiday weekend, where some are away, but thankful for those that are here. I'm not going to tell you where to turn yet in the Bible, because I want to give a little introduction. We're going to basically be looking at one verse today. And I believe this verse certainly is one of the most important verses in all of the Word of God. And young people, for any young people here who are looking for a life verse, this would be a good one. And maybe you already know it, have it memorized, and maybe it is a life verse. But it is a verse that is very thought-provoking. And if there would be anyone here this morning who does not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, this is a verse for you as well. So, it's in the book of Proverbs and chapter 4. So let's turn to the book of Proverbs and chapter 4. Perhaps some of you know what verse I'm referring to. But let's look at verse 23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. The verse reads in the New King James, and I preface that this morning because I know there's some different versions out there, and this verse does have some different translations to it, which I'll refer to some of those here in a couple minutes. But they all say the same thing, maybe just a little bit wording difference. But Proverbs 4:23 from the New King James says this: "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Sounds like a very simple verse on the surface. Might read it and just move on to the next verse. But this verse is loaded with important truth. And we want to spend our time just meditating on this and kind of exploring the idea of the heart this morning and how that relates to us. And again, whether unbeliever or believer. But this is an excellent verse if you are looking for a life verse, one of those, you know, you put to memory and the Lord brings back to your mind from time to time. This would be an excellent, excellent verse to memorize. Let's just look to the Lord once again in prayer. Father in heaven, as we bow our heads and our hearts this morning, we do trust that we are bowing our hearts under the subjection of the Word of God, as was prayed earlier, that we might receive it, whatever you would have for us this morning. And certainly, this is a verse that has application to all of us who are sitting here this morning. Lord, you, above all, know our hearts. You know the hearts of each one of us that are sitting here this morning. You know our hearts better than we do. And we would pray this morning you would reveal our hearts to us and help us, Lord, to take in the truth of this verse, not just for intellectual understanding, but really that would affect the entirety of our beings. So, Father, we would trust the Spirit of God to work in each one of us this morning according to your will and your purpose. I do pray for help as we would look at this, and that you would just give help in explaining the Word of God this morning. We do ask these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The heart. If you look up heart, if you Google it, well over 700 times the Bible refers to the heart. Maybe some of those times is the physical organ in our bodies, But probably more times than not, it is not that. It is a spiritual entity within us. Sometimes it's the heart of the Lord. You say, well, I thought the God himself wasn't a person and so forth. Well, that's the way God expresses himself to us in his word. Sometimes talks about the eyes of the Lord or the arm of the Lord to help us understand who God is, because we understand those kinds of terms. Well, the Bible speaks a number of times about the heart of God. He does have a heart in that sense, and emotion which comes from the heart, and a will that comes from the heart. If you would again look up, you know, Google the heart as found in the Bible. I Googled that very thing, and here came a little synopsis of 50 words that describe the heart. And again, if you do your own study, you'll find all kinds of adjectives connected with the word heart in the Word of God. We shouldn't be surprised about that, because the heart is who and what we are. And we are very, very complex beings. We are not simple beings at all. And God created us that way, and we can have a range of emotions and a range of things that our heart expresses. We can read of a broken heart. We can read of a contrite heart. We can read of a discouraged heart. We can read of a proud heart. We can read of a wicked heart. We can read of an obstinate heart. We can read of a perfect heart, a tender heart, an upright heart, and on it goes. I just find that fascinating, that that's who and what we are. And these are the kinds of things that are expressed by God's creation known as mankind. He made us in his image. And so we have this ability to demonstrate all of these different aspects of the heart. So let's think about the heart here for a little bit. Again, most of the time, and what we're not going to be talking about this morning, is the physical organ of our heart. But just a couple fun facts about that. I was reading that our heart beats over 100,000 times a day. And you can do that math, 70 beats a minute, and just do the math for the day. Around 100,000 times a day. That's an amazing thing in and of itself, isn't it? In the course of a year, 36,500 beats of our hearts. If a person lives to be 70 years old, 2,555,000,000 beats of this little organ in our beings that keeps us alive. Isn't that amazing? God made us. Now, that's all physical. Also read that your heart pumps about 1.5 gallons of blood every minute. Over the course of a day, that adds up to 2,000 gallons. There are 60,000 miles of blood vessels in your body. That's enough to go around the world twice. Now, you can check with Chuck on all these facts later, but that's what I read anyhow. And then the last thing was, heart disease is the greatest threat to your physical health and my physical health. That's why it's important to be good to your heart by following a heart-healthy lifestyle. Well, I'm not here to promote any kind of diets or lifestyle today from a physical standpoint, but obviously our heart is necessary and the most important organ in our bodies. How much more spiritually? Spiritually. When God talks about the heart, what is he referring to? Well, we could look at, I said there was over 700 verses, and we could look at a lot of verses, and we'll just have some select verses here that we look at this morning and then come back to Proverbs 4. But in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 5, this is probably a verse we think about where Moses here is giving the law of God and the instruction of God to a generation that's about ready to go into the promised land. And he had to reteach them the law because their parents had not done that. But he says in Deuteronomy 6:5, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength." Now, I'll just make a comment on that. None of us are able to do that perfectly. But certainly God desires our all. And when we say we love the Lord, and we come to the Lord, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants all of us. He wants our heart. That really is what salvation is. You know, we often talk about salvation, believe, 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 and certainly that's true, and it's what the Bible says, but that whole process involves the heart. Maybe say a little bit more about that. But loving the Lord your God with all your heart. Then we read of Joshua in Joshua 22 and verse 5. Now here's Joshua after they've entered the land. This generation is in there, still receiving some instruction at the end of the book of Joshua. And Joshua says this, "But take careful heed to do the commandment and law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments, to hold fast to him, and to serve him with all your heart and all your soul." You read that often in the Old Testament. To love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul. You know, sometimes I believe we get the wrong idea of the Old Testament, that all it was kind of a ritualistic life of following laws. Well, if you read the Old Testament, especially the book of Deuteronomy, the word heart is a key word. God was always and is always with mankind. It doesn't matter what dispensation, he is looking for a heart that loves him and follows him. Yes, we don't live in the Old Testament economy. We're not sacrificing animals. We're not, obeying different holidays and rituals of that kind. But you can't read very far, whether it's Deuteronomy or the Pentateuch or the prophets, the heart. Because if God does not have one's heart, then all the outward things are meaningless. But if he has the heart, then that is going to control the outward behavior. And that's why this is so critically important. But what does the heart refer to when we're thinking of not that organ within us, that physical organ? What does the heart refer to? Well, again, we won't go to a lot of verses, but it is tied with emotion. Deuteronomy 28:47 says, "You did not serve the Lord with joy and gladness of heart." There's a lot of emotion tied to the heart. Real emotion, because it comes from within us. Right? When we express emotion, whatever that might be, joy, anger, whatever, that is coming from the innermost part of our beings. Right? We're not just whipping that up somehow. That's the way we feel at the moment. And everyone in this room, we've experienced all kinds of different emotions, sometimes not good, but they've come from our heart. That which is within us, that which drives us, that which moves us, that is our heart. It is the person in his or her totality, personality as a whole, the inner life, the inner man. You remember what God said to Samuel. The Lord said to Samuel in 1 Samuel 16:7, "Do not look at his appearance or his physical stature, because I have refused him," as they were trying to select a king. "The Lord does not see as man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart." Well, what does that mean? Well, was he looking at the physical organ of David? Of course not. He was looking at his inner being. He was looking at his person. Who was David? What kind of person was he? Well, God would tell us in His Word, David was a man after my own heart, after God's own heart. David in his heart was a man after God's own heart. We say, wow, David, I read some pretty rough things about David. Yeah, but he was a man after God's own heart, and that's a whole other subject and message. It's important to realize there's a very, very close connection, in fact, an inseparable connection between the mind and the heart. We're told in the Bible that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. I believe it's Proverbs 23:7. That might not be the right verse. Yes, I believe it is. As a man thinks in his heart, interesting phrase, isn't it? So is he. In other words, that's who he is. So it's difficult to separate my thinking and my intellect from my will and my being. They're so intricately tied together. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, in that chapter, Paul is talking about, in part, about the blindness of Israel, even to this very day. And he says, their minds were blinded, for until this day the same veil remains unlifted in the reading of the Old Testament, because the veil is taken away in Christ. But even to this day, a veil lies on their heart. There's this separation, not understanding who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Evil and sin come from the heart. God said in both Matthew and Mark's Gospels, Mark 7 and Matthew 15, from within, out of the heart of man proceed evil thoughts. We read in other places, Romans 1:24 talks about the lusts of the heart. Romans 2:5, the hardness and unrepentant heart. Hebrews 3:12, an evil heart of unbelief. Ephesians 4:18 talks about the blindness of the heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15, again speaking of the Jews and particularly the leaders, He said, these people draw near to Me with their mouth and honor Me with their lips, but their heart is far from Me. That is to say, we can give lip service to the Lord. We can sing songs. We can say something aloud. We can even pray. But it doesn't mean our heart is where it should be. God is looking for that heart to be where it should be, and then, yes, followed by what we say. But it's very clear, just like those Jewish leaders, they were far from God, but they said things about God. And Jeremiah says this great truth, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Who can know it? We can't even know our own hearts. You know, we might say sometime, well, I would never do that. Somebody blows up or somebody does something or somebody sins. Well, I would never do that. Oh, really? Put in the right set of circumstances at the right time, given the right day. Did you ever get up on the wrong side of bed? I have. We are capable. We are capable. By the grace of God, we won't. But we don't even know our own hearts sometimes. So say all that to say this, then, that the conclusion is the heart is that's who we really are. In essence, we are what our heart is. That is the inner person of who we are in total. Some have said the heart is the master control of our beings. It's the motherboard of our computer system. It is the main thing that drives us and moves us. Everything comes from the heart. So it shouldn't be a surprise to us, some of these verses that I read, that the evil and so forth that comes from our heart and the unrepentance that comes from our heart and things of that nature, That's where God needs to begin His work. And so salvation really is a work of God in the heart of an individual. That's what it is. Not just in the mind. Because a person can recite the gospel and not believe it. Has it reached the heart? The heart. I want you to turn to Romans before we come back here to Proverbs. Just keep your finger there. We'll be back there in a minute. But just turn to the book of Romans in chapter 10 for just a minute. Romans chapter 10. We're thinking here of the idea that the heart is really who we are. So that's what God needs to work on. That's what needs to be changed when a person comes to Jesus Christ and believes in Him as Lord and Savior. Romans chapter 10, and look at verse 9. Well, even verse 8. He's talking about the Old Testament. He says, what does it say? The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth salvation is made, or with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. A person will never be saved without the heart being affected and coming to the Lord as a broken, contrite individual, repenting of sins and understanding the judgment that is upon us. And we come to the Lord with a heart that is now repentant and open and soft and pliable. And the Bible says the Lord works on that heart. And so it is through the heart that one believes. And that, you see, encompasses the whole man to bring salvation to an individual. I love what Acts 16 and verse 14 says about Lydia. It says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things that Paul spoke. This is the work of God to open the heart, but yet it's man allowing God to open the heart. That great mystery. But the bottom line is, when salvation comes to an individual, it's because the heart has been affected. The heart has been opened. You know, sometimes people make professions of faith, and there's no change of life. And you don't see anything changing. You don't see any growth. You don't see any interest in the Word of God. You don't see any interest in spiritual things. And we say, well, this person's saved. Are they? See, has the heart been affected? It must be affected. Because that's what God does. He works on the heart. Now let's go back here to Proverbs chapter 4. And let's explore this verse a little bit. So I'm speaking this morning, I trust, to those who have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. And here we are now. God has changed our hearts. And yet the Christian life that we live is still a life that's coming from the heart. Why is it so important? What does this verse say? What is it teaching us? Let's read it once again. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. A couple other versions. The Amplified. Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life. The Darby Translation. Keep thy heart more than anything that is guarded, for out of it are the issues of life. There's another one: above all that you guard, watch over your heart, for out of it are the sources of life. The NIV says, above all else, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. So they say similar things using a little different words. So what do you guard? What do you protect? What do you treasure in life more than anything? You say, well, I guard my money. I've got some investments and I check them out. Well, that's good. We should. If we have money to invest, we should pay attention. We should guard that. We should protect that. We should be interested in that. You might have a security system on your house because you want to guard the safety of your house. That's good. That's proper. That's right. You might have a job that you're guarding, you're protecting. Certainly our family members, we want to guard, we want to protect. These things are near and dear to us, and rightly so. But I wonder how often do we think about guarding, keeping our hearts on a consistent basis? You know, there's even people, I've read of people, I guess, that have more money than they know what to do with, that get insurance policies on various parts of their bodies. Maybe it's a singer and their voice, and so they have a big insurance policy on their voice, or an athlete insures their legs, or whatever it might be. Why? Because these things are extremely important to them. Not sure what good it would do if something happens, but it's where people put, that's where their interest is, that's where their focus is, that's what they deem important to their well-being in life. Well, for you and I as believers in the Lord Jesus, that should be our hearts. So what is given here in Proverbs 4 and verse 23 is not a suggestion, it's a command. It's an imperative. Guard, keep, observe, hide. The scripture says God tests our hearts. Doesn't do it so much for himself. He already knows our hearts. He does it for us. He may put us through things in life to test our hearts. Is our allegiance to him? Do we turn to him? Are we dependent on him? There may be things come our way that, you know, we would divide our hearts. He wants us to see that. He wants to reveal those kinds of things to us. So we are to continually to keep watch over our hearts. That is what he's saying here. And he goes on to say in this verse, keep your heart with all diligence. Now, if you notice, when I read some of these verses, some of them begin with a phrase, above all else, or guarding more than anything else. And that's going back to this phrase here that I just read, with all diligence. And the idea is, whatever we guard and whatever we protect, above all things, the most important thing we can ever protect and guard and keep in our lives is our hearts. That's more important than any physical thing that we possess or have. And even as dear as our loved ones are to us, it's even more important than that. Above all things, guard, keep your heart. Why? Why? Brings us to the second part of the verse. Because out of our hearts, out of it, meaning our hearts, out of our hearts spring the issues of life. Or again, one translation says, because that is the source of life, or the sources of life. One says that is the fountain whence life springs. The springs of life, the sources of life, the issues of life. In other words, it's like a little stream that goes into a river that in turn goes into the sea. There's this gushing forth of water. And that's what our hearts, it's picturing our hearts, from our hearts, bring forth how we will live. If we look at our lives this morning, and, you know, we just take a moment, we say, you know, what do I really believe? How am I living? Where am I putting the emphasis in life? What things are absolutely critically important to me in life? All those questions, as we answer them, are bringing us right back to our hearts. That's what's springing forth. And you see, what we do with our hearts, how we train our hearts, how we prepare our hearts, the shape that our heart is in. In other words, do we have a hard heart? Do we have a soft and tender heart? It's said of Josiah in the Old Testament. Remember, he found the book of the law, and he had that book read to him, and his heart was smote. They had abandoned the law of God, the word of God, for so long, and he's hearing judgment. But his heart was tender. And God even says to him, because you had a tender heart, I'll spare you the judgment. I mean, judgment still came, but Josiah didn't see it. He had a tender heart. He had a heart that when he heard the word of God, it affected him. He was moved. It's amazing how we can sit. And look, I sit and listen more than I preach. So I'm speaking to myself, not just to you. But it's amazing how we can sit and listen and our hearts aren't affected. That's a heart problem. That's not taking seriously what we're even doing. I liked what Jeff prayed when he prayed this morning. I don't know the exact words, but it was that our hearts would be receptive. We often pray for the preacher, and I appreciate that. This poor preacher needs prayer. But we need to pray for one another as we listen. And specifically that we pray for our hearts. Because if we come in this place with a hard heart, in a sense, you might as well not even be here. Because the word is just going to bounce right off. But God wants a heart when the word is heard. It is digested and it hits a nerve. And it can do a number of things. It can encourage. It can help us to rejoice. It can take us from sorrow to rejoicing. Read about Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 1. I think it says her heart was discouraged or grieved or something like that because she couldn't have a son. She took it to the Lord, and when she had a son, it said her heart rejoiced. And that's the way we are, right? We go from sorrow to rejoicing. But all that we experience, all that we live, all that we do, all that we prioritize is going through our hearts. So it's imperative that our hearts are in good shape. If you look at this chapter and look back at verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 4 for kind of a context here of the chapter. It says, "Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding, for I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my father, he also taught me and said to me, 'Let your heart retain my words.'" David understood the importance of a tender heart. And I really believe that's one of the reasons why God says that David was a man after his own heart. He wasn't looking at David's life and, look, he sinned here and he sinned there. I mean, that's recorded for us. There it is. But when David was confronted, or when he heard the word, or however the message came to him, think of 2 Samuel, or 1 Samuel 12, when Nathan comes to him, he was smote to his heart. He was the man. And David had that tenderness of heart. Didn't mean he was perfect, but it meant as the word of God was brought to him, there was a response. And so this chapter, see, is in the context of hearing the word of God, having a tender heart to retain the word of God, getting wisdom from that, having wisdom of our heart. So very, very, very important. Look again at Proverbs 4. So keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Wherever we may find ourselves in life, our heart is part of that. And our response and how we live and how we act, it's all coming from our heart. So obviously the work of the Word of God in our hearts is so critical, so important. But notice what he says in verses 24, 25, and 26. I just want to mention three things here. Verse 24. Put away from you a deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Now, we're talking here about the heart being affected. You know, the conversations we have in this world and with people are very important. And what we hear and what we dialogue about, where we may get counsel, who we may go to, who we are friends with, and who is giving us input through words, through teaching, through understanding, that's very important. Even what we watch. You know, sometimes we watch things where the language isn't good. And yet we put ourselves through that and we watch that thinking that doesn't have an effect on us. It has an effect. It has an effect on our hearts. I'll tell you, working all the years I worked in the environment I was working, I can tell you that we can get desensitized to words, cuss words. I mean, you just hear it so much, some of you know what I'm talking about if you're in that kind of environment. So this is, again, this is why we have to guard our hearts. Well, we can't let the environment, we can't let speech, we can't let conversation, we can't let the things we watch be dictating our hearts. We've got to control that. We've got to deal with that. So speech and conversation and input and advice and all these things can affect our hearts. Look at verse 25. Let your eyes look straight ahead, and your eyelids look right before you. Oh, the eyes. I forget who it was. It said our eyes are the gateway to our souls, gateway to our heart. Perhaps that's the biggest part of us that affects our heart is what we see. And what we allow our eyes to see. That's why the psalmist said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart, let not my eyes behold worthless things. Help me, Lord, not to look upon worthless things. That could be anything from just worthless things to evil things to sinful things to immoral things. Because as that stuff comes through our eye gates, it also is affecting our hearts. That was Psalm 119:37. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. What are our eyes looking at? What do we let them look at? What do we prepare for them to look at? Do we think about the effect of what we see upon our hearts and eventually upon our lives? Because it's all a process. What comes in and is filtered in our minds and our hearts, and again, they're so intricately connected together, results in behavior. That's inevitable. That's just the way we're put together. That's the way God has made us. That's why this verse is so important to keep, to guard, to preserve, to be concerned about, to be diligent about the condition of our hearts. And then verse 26, ponder the path of your feet. Let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. Often in the Old Testament, it talks about, you know, going straight ahead. Don't turn to the left. Don't turn to the right. Go straight ahead. Stay on that path, the path of righteousness. I mean, the Lord talked about two ways, right? A righteous way and a way that leads to destruction. We have those choices all the time in life. Where's our feet going? Where are we going? So what do we talk about? What conversations, what effect do they have on our heart? Verse 24. What are we looking at? What do we allow our eyes to see? Verse 25. And then where do we go? What do we do? Where are we taking our hearts? What are we exposing them to? So very, very important. Now think about this. We're driving down the highway, and you know, this could be anywhere. And boom, there's a billboard. They're huge. You can't miss it. That billboard might be something immoral. That billboard might be something evil. That billboard might be something just anti-God and anti-Christ. And yet, you're driving down in your car, you can't miss it. You see it. But why is it that two people who can see the same thing, that can have two different results on them? One may fall to temptation because of what they just seen, and the other one doesn't. It's the preparation of the heart. It's the guarding of the heart. It's the keeping of the heart. I mean, this is a daily thing for you and I. We've got to be serious about this. God's serious about it. This is a command. It's not a suggestion. That means we all need it. We all have to be careful. Turn, if you would, as we close this morning, to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Go down to verse 17, 1 Chronicles chapter 29 and verse 17. This is a tremendous chapter here where there was offering given for the building of the temple, and that all went great. The people were willing and they gave, and it was just a tremendous time. It caused David to break into worship of his God, verses 10 and following. A lot of great things that you read there. You come down to verse 17, and David makes some really interesting comments here. Now again, this is in the context of this great happening, and the people have responded well, and David's blessing the Lord and praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord. And he says in verse 17, I know also, my God, that you test the heart and have pleasure in uprightness. As for me, in the uprightness of my heart, I have willingly offered all these things. I mean, here was a good time for David. His heart was upright. He desired to do what pleased God. That is what drove him in this, at this particular time. And it was all good. And now with joy I have seen your people who are present here to offer willingly to you. So the whole scene is great. Verse 18, O Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, our fathers, keep this forever in the intent of the thoughts of the heart of your people, and fix their heart toward you. David understood the importance of the heart. He keeps going back to it here. He knows his own heart was in a good place at this point in time. It was an upright heart. And the hearts of the people at this time were good. But he's praying, Lord, help their hearts to stay that way. Because there's no guarantee. Even an upright heart will be upright tomorrow. Without keeping it, without guarding it, without being conscious of it. But I take you to verse 19. And here's a verse for parents raising children. David says, "And give my son Solomon a loyal heart to keep your commandments, your testimonies, and your statutes, to do all these things, to build a temple for which I have made provision." You know, if there is one overarching thing that we want to try to do as parents to the best of our ability, it is to shape the heart of our children. That is overarching. To shape that heart, to understand what evil is, to understand what pleases the Lord, to understand the dangers, to go after God, to follow Him with a whole heart, to commit one's life to Him. So many aspects of a heart that is set on God. But that really is, you know, we could boil all of parenting down to that. Shaping a child's heart. And, I mean, ultimately, you know, we can't do that. We can't get in there and fine-tune it and turn the nuts and bolts to make the heart the way we want. But we can give the input. We can teach the Word of God. We can, even more importantly, model it, live it, that our children can see it. I mean, obviously, Solomon knew it all. And he chose not to live it. So the responsibility falls ultimately on the children. But as parents, we want to do all we can. And we should think about that often. How are we preparing? How are we affecting? How are we shaping the heart of the child? Keep your heart with all diligence, above all else, above everything else we guard. Guard our hearts. Why? Because from the heart comes the issues of life. Life springs from the heart. And the lives we live, whether good or bad, whether obedient or disobedient, is because of what our hearts are and the condition of our hearts. It's critical, so important. May the Lord help each one of us. Father in heaven, we just bow down before you this morning. What a verse that you have given us. So powerful, so far-reaching in our lives. It encompasses who we are. It will define how we live. It will affect decisions and choices we make. It will keep us from evil, or the neglect thereof will allow us to pursue evil. Oh Lord, we just pray for each one here this morning that we really would look at our hearts, and as the psalmist cries, you would bring this verse to mind often.
And Lord, for every one of us, it is so important for our spiritual well-being. We thank you for putting it in the Word of God. We thank you for just so many verses in your Word that talk about the heart. You have given us much, much information to digest and meditate on. And Father, we pray you would just help us to follow you with our whole heart. For we do ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.